1972, thousands of abandoned homes were bulldozed because they were deemed a public health hazard. In Miami Shores, developers approached city officials with proposals to buy out entire blocks of waterlogged apartments, then dredge the streets and turn them into canals lined with houseboats. But financing for these projects never materialized. Before the storm hit, damage from rising seas had already pushed city and county budgets to the brink. State and federal money was scarce too, in part because Miami was seen by many Americans as a rich, self-indulgent city that had ignored decades of warnings about building too close to the water. Attempts had been made to armor the shore with seawalls and elevate buildings, but only a small percentage of the richest property owners took protective action. The beaches were mostly gone, too. The feds decided they couldn't afford to spend $100 million every few years to pump in fresh sand, and without replenishment, the even higher tides carried the beaches away. By the late 2020s, the only beaches that remained were privately maintained oases of sand in front of expensive hotels. The hurricane took care of those, leaving the hotels and condo towers perched on limestone crags. Tourists disappeared. After the hurricane, the city became a mecca for slumlords, spiritual healers, and lawyers. In the parts of the country that were still inhabitable, only the wealthiest could afford to insure their homes. Mortgages were nearly impossible to get, mostly because banks didn't believe the homes would be there in 30 years. Still, the waters kept rising, nearly a foot each decade. Each big storm devoured more of the coastline, pushing the water deeper and deeper into the city. The skyscrapers that had gone up during the boom years were gradually abandoned and used as staging grounds for drug runners and exotic animal traffickers. Crocodiles nested in the ruins of the Frost Museum of Science. Historians dryly noted that the namesake of the museum, billionaire Philip Frost, had been a climate change skeptic. Still, the waters kept rising. By the end of the 21st century, Miami became something else entirely. A popular diving spot where people could swim among sharks and barnacled SUVs and explore the wreckage of a great American city. That is, of course, merely one possible vision of the future. There are brighter ways to imagine it, and darker ways. But I am a journalist, not a Hollywood screenwriter. In this book, I want to tell a true story about the future we are creating for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren. It begins with this. The climate is warming. The world's great ice sheets are melting, and the water is rising. This is not a speculative idea, or the hypothesis of a few wacky scientists, or a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese. Sea level rise is one of the central facts of our time, as real as gravity. It will reshape our world in ways most of us can only dimly imagine. My own interest in this story began with an actual hurricane. Shortly after Hurricane Sandy hit New York City in 2012, I visited the Lower East Side of Manhattan, one of the neighborhoods that had been hardest hit by flooding from the storm. The water had receded by the time I arrived, but the neighborhood already smelled of mold and rot. The power was out, the shops were closed. I saw broken trees, abandoned cars, debris scattered everywhere, people hauling ruined furniture out of basement apartments. Dark water lines were visible on many shop windows and doors. The surge in the East River had been more than 9 feet high, overwhelming the seawall and inundating the low-lying parts of Lower Manhattan. As I walked around, watching people slowly put their lives back together, I wondered what would have happened if, instead of flooding the city and then receding in a few hours, the Atlantic Ocean had come in and stayed in. I have been writing about climate change for more than a decade, but seeing the flooding on the Lower East Side made it visceral for me. I hadn't visited New Orleans until several years after Katrina hit. The TV images of the flooding there, catastrophic as they were, did not affect me as strongly as my walk through the Lower East Side. A year or so before Sandy rolled in, I had interviewed NASA scientist James Hansen, the godfather of climate change science, who told me